Welcome to the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona, and I'm in kind of a loud place today. So if I'm yelling a little bit louder than usual, it's just because I need to hear myself talk. Okay, so thank you so much for your patience. And I'm getting caught up on everything that I started in my campaign. For the last week, I've been in Phoenix, Arizona, actually on the streets with my homeless friends. I got three signs going. I went to the central Phoenix area and I started to, and she is very loud. Okay. I started to get some of the momentum in the library, in the downtown area, in some of the busier high traffic areas, because I wanted to put out some feelers to see what the community was like in those areas. The fact is, I wanted to create some synergy, right? So what is synergy? I always like to start my show by explaining to people that what we are individually is very powerful. We have power as people. When we come together, our power increases. It doesn't multiply. It powerfully, exponentially augments. Now, if we're talking about it in numbers, well, two times four. Yeah, that's eight. Well, 2^4, that's 2 × 2 × 2 × 2, that's 16. So think about this. If we're talking about 2 + 4, 2 × 4, 2^4, how much do we have in ourselves, in an ability, an innate ability to come together with others and create something exponentially more powerful? Now, my campaign has been for the residents of CAS, which is a homeless shelter in the downtown area. It's on 12th Street and Grant, or is it Washington? Well, it covers several blocks. And so when I went there and I experienced things for myself, I went, wow, the negativity of the employees in addition to the security guards, as well as the administration, the staff, just the people who literally take your card and put it under the little electric laser and then hand it back to you. That's not even doing anything. They are so toxic in the way that they feel about the people who live there that they can kill a really good mood just by looking at the poor resident who has come in trying to get a job, trying to get residency somewhere, an apartment, a group home, something out of their current situation. I don't know if they genuinely want to make their lives worse. They have a position of power. Or if they are just so unhappy with their own lives that they can't contain their own unhappiness. No, you know what? Power. We have power. Well, you know what? Power comes with responsibility. And responsibility demands accountability. When we have accountability to each other and we choose to say, I'm going to do something proactively positive for someone else as a gift to them, our soul changes. What is our soul? Our soul is our heart, our mind, our body, and our spirit. So when we come together, we have that power, that personal power. We are either positive or negative. There is no neutral energy. We don't have an indifferent, I don't care. So that is positive? Well, it's not positive or negative. Wrong. It's negative because there is no neutral energy. If you don't care, that means you are not being positively proactive to make people, including yourself, better. Okay, so if you know that you're just sitting there going, well, I don't care because it's not my problem, what do you think you make other people around you feel like? When I was there at the shelter and I got some of the volunteers who live there to hold up the signs on the corner, the energy that we created when we were together, they literally would come out to me and say, okay, I'm ready to hold the sign. Where do you want me to go? I'd say, great. I'm so glad you're with me. Let's do this. You know what? Some days we made $75 in donations. And I'd say, well, go to the GoFundMe campaign on the website. And then some days we made $40 in donations. One day we made $265. It wasn't even about the money. It was about the fact that when we came together, we were something amazing. And wow, it is extremely loud in here. And it's so funny because I actually came to this one because it's rarely this loud. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people behind the counter. And you know what? The people who are sitting here, I'm glad this is a great opportunity to share this. The people around me are very irritated, and so they have to yell in order to be heard by the people that they're with. No, you don't have to be obnoxious, and you don't have to fight with people to be heard. You can actually conquer that. Hi, we gotta talk to you really loud. Because I want attention. No, because I need to shut someone up. You don't have to do that. If you're actually calm and healthy and happy within yourself, you don't have to fight evil with evil. You can actually conquer evil with good. And so what I decided when I lived in those shelters, in those homeless shelters, I wanted to help people when they genuinely wanted to get out, but they were around people like the administration and the management and the supervisors and the security guards. They were saying and doing things to undermine them. I said, look, you know what? You don't have to fight fire with fire. Let's actually make this a better situation by making you a better quality person. Your heart and your mind and your spirit and your body can be in a good way, in a good place. So I started a GoFundMe campaign. I actually got people to say, I want to help someone, but in a good way, because I'm not going to change the system. Obviously, one individual is not going to change the entire system. Let's get together and create some synergy to do things that are individually good, but together. Okay, so I said, great. We can go ahead and get not only representation, legal representation for people who want to get out, who are being abused, they're being tortured, they're being undermined, genuinely sabotaged by the people who work in these places who don't like their life. Well, I'm sorry, but as a resident, that's not my problem that you don't like your life, and it's certainly not my fault. So, or what I thought even better was the coaching, the life coaching that I give. It's kind of expensive, but instead of going to a therapist for 10 years, you can spend 3 to 6 months with me and actually get solutions to your problem and growth and personal development to make your life better. But you know what? I'm kind of expensive. How about if I give these homeless shelter victims the life coaching that they need and that they want and that they deserve? Now, what I'm going to be talking about for about the next hour or so is all of the different things that I will be covering in that life coaching course. What I did was, in the process of going through all of the files, the details, fine tooth combing, all of the different things that happened at that place, and getting the lawyer, what they said was, you need a class action lawsuit, you need 20 more people. Well, how am I going to get these people who were emotionally tormented and psychologically abused and physically sabotaged? They need to get that life coaching in a class. So I got accredited with the Better Business Bureau. And I said, look, I have this campaign. I have this sort of agenda, this personal agenda. I want to teach them things to get out of the shelter so that they can live in that shelter and still be, yeah, successful and still have self-confidence and still be healthy. Okay, so I can give them a life coaching course. And it's going to be 12 hours because every month I can have 12 hours of office space, basically in the Better Business Bureau building. And whoever wants to come in and be a part of my class can attend for free. And that's why I modified my coaching program specifically to the topics, the issues that the people living in these shelters struggle with on a daily basis to get out of the shelter. Yeah. Let's just get them out of that toxic situation altogether. So let's see. Here we go. Okay, here we go. So now, the coaching class for the homeless is 7 parts. And again, it's going to be over 12 hours, but 7 different topics can go through a different period of time based on what the class actually needs. Because if I have a syllabus and it's going to all of these different topics, what I'd like to do is open up the phone lines. My producer wasn't feeling too good a few days ago, but he's got his energy back. He's got his spirit back. If I like to go kind of into the community and say, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Sometimes they just want to ask me questions. So if you want to call in on any of the topics that I'm going to be going over today, when it comes to the syllabus for the life coaching that I will be giving the homeless, this is not my regular coaching class, then you can go ahead and call in. The number is 888-627-6008. Okay. And you know, when I yelled, it did kind of quiet them down because I think it scared them. But they've turned the volume back up in their voices. And so, again, it's just going to kind of be annoying. I'm sorry if you're not real keen on listening to that in the background. But thank you for staying with me for this. Now, I love acronyms because they are very, very easy to remember. It actually kind of gets you engaged in what you're learning. And if you have those frame of references, you're just going to remember it more easily. Okay, so what I do is the package deal. If you want to be healthy in yourself, P-A-C-K-A-G-E. And I got to make sure I keep my time very closely monitored because this is a lot of information and I'm going to try and get through it within 48 minutes. Okay. So the first letter is P, the package deal. You have to have peace. Well, everyone says have peace. Well, you can't just tell someone to have peace and they go, oh, okay, great. I have peace now. Peace is about something that a lot of people love to say as a buzzword, and that is surrender. Okay, so how do you surrender? Well, obviously there's a lot involved in that. That just means letting go. You have to be able to say, okay, something was really important to me. I need to let it go now. You have to go through a lot of things inside of yourself in order to be able to say, I'm still going to be okay without whatever this thing is. Whatever happened to me, whatever experience I had, whatever is still, even potentially, even maybe still going on right now, I'm okay saying, yeah, I'm okay. You know what you do? And this is what I've been telling a lot of people in the last week. You have to be functional according to your true nature. Now, what I wanted to just kind of give you as the premise, even though it's the first letter of the acronym, the premise of having all of these different things of the package deal, you have to do your functional activity order in the correct proportion. Now, there's four different levels of functionality. There's dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior. You need to do your dominant function for at least 8 hours a day. Okay, find out what your dominant function is. And if you do that for at least 8 hours a day, then your auxiliary function, 3 to 4 hours a day, your tertiary function, 2 to 3 hours a day, and your inferior function, just 1 to 2 hours a day. I promise that if you keep your functional activity in those proportions, you will be able to have peace because you will have the full satisfaction of adhering to, accepting and appreciating your true nature. It doesn't necessarily sound as good when I say the dominant for 50%, the auxiliary for 30%, the tertiary for 20%, and the inferior for 5 to 10%. You go, okay, so then I think I will go ahead and punch those four persons and then those times. So it's like, now I have peace. Well, no, you have to know what those things are. For me, it's introverted thinking. If you leave me alone for 8 hours a day or let me do activities that are introverted thinking activities, then when I have to do the other activities, like extroverted feeling, that's my inferior function. I can say, okay, I'm going to have to do this. I really don't want to do this, but you know what? I've done enough with my introverted thinking, but it's okay. I'm not necessarily excited about doing this, but I have peace, right? The acceptance, the surrender. Do your functional order. Because then as we go down to letter by letter by letter, keep in mind that the only way you will be able to do that, A-C-K-A-G-E, is by adhering, again, to these proportions of your natural, organic functionality. Yeah, I even gave a little girl on the bus, I'm sorry, it was the rail in Phoenix. I gave her personality profile because we were sitting there 45 minutes. Well, I got a great way to spend 45 minutes, sweetheart. Your grandmother's annoying you. Let's ignore your grandmother and let's find out your true nature. Once I said to her, I just asked her random questions. And I said, you know what, sweetheart? You are an INFP. And she goes, what is that? And I say, well, and I gave her the whole package, the big picture. And she went, nobody's ever known that about me. And she looked at her grandmother. She said, how does she know that about me? And her grandmother was blown away because of what I keep going back to is, you know what? You need to ignore people like your mother and your grandmother who are teaching you to fight. They're literally telling you to resist peace. When you are pursuing conflict with people, you're never going to have satisfaction, fulfillment, happiness, or success in your life. You have to start with your true nature, creating the peace in your life, which goes to our next one, And that is awareness. Okay, well, we're all aware of something or another at any moment. The question is, are you aware of what you're thinking or feeling or doing? Well, you know what? Not if you're disconnected. Wow. We are created to be very aware. That's the only way we can be sensory or intuitive. We have to. And you know what? This is about being mindful. Well, that was another really big buzzword that the self-help psychology industry loves to kind of just throw around. If you're mindful with yourself, that means you are aware of, okay, at any moment, what am I experiencing? That could be externally, that could be internally. You have to know what you're experiencing. Again, now for the people who said they were going to watch the show today, they might have logged on a little bit late. The number, if you want to call in to ask me questions about these topics, is 888-627-6008. Okay, so now if we're talking about mindfulness, awareness, you know what? The only way you can truly do that is if you're honest. Okay, that's tough. Being honest with others is tough because you know what? You can't handle the truth. That's all too common. That's all too true about so many people. If they genuinely cannot handle the truth, they're not going to be truthful with others because they're going to assume the same things. But most importantly, they're not going to be honest with themselves. And I'll tell you something, when I was a little girl and my father was fighting with me because we loved to banter back and forth, it wasn't genuine conflict. It was just a matter of he would say something to me to see my reaction, and then I would kind of throw him a curveball and then he'd respond. We just have fun expanding our mind. And one day I said, okay, you know what? I think I'm going to just do, because I think something he said really upset me. And he stopped and he got real serious. And he said, honey, be careful. And I went, what are you talking about? You know I'm winning this. And he goes, no, be careful. You have to be truthful. You have to be honest. When you lie to strangers, you are going to lose. You're going to miss out on some great opportunities to be and have and do things that you would have otherwise really enjoyed and really needed to happen. He goes, don't lie. And then he said, if you lie to your friends and family, you're going to die alone. Because you're going to push them away. They're not going to trust you. Okay. I was like, that's make me nervous. And he goes, but most importantly, baby, when you lie to yourself, it's all over for you. You may as well just pack it up right then and there. When you don't even, because you're lying to yourself, you start to believe your own lies, you have got nothing left. Oh crap. That just scared me. I'm like, okay, Papa, you know what? That's okay. I think I have somewhere to go. I think I have something to do. And okay. You have to be honest. You have to be honest with yourself. And here's the most important key element of honesty. You are never going to be more honest with anybody else than you are with yourself first, because you're never going to think that anyone else can handle more than you, just because we are self-centered as entities, as creations, as whatever it is that we are. We just assume everyone else is like us. Well, they're not, but that's just our inclination and our instincts. Now, when we have that going, okay, you know what? I think I can handle the truth. Really? What about the tough stuff? Because then are you aware of it? Are you prepared to manage it, to resolve it? Okay, you know what? That's kind of a little detail there. The only way you can do that is by getting the strength and the confidence to do the things that need to be done for those things to happen. Okay, then that's going on to the next thing, curiosity. Let's turn fear of the unknown into curiosity of, wow, I want to know more about what I don't know. And one of my favorite things to tell people is, you don't know what you don't know. So how are you supposed to, well, you never asked me the question. Well, I don't know what question to ask you because I don't know what's out there. When you create in yourself the hunger to know more, that is the extension of acceptance. Acceptance is saying, I have peace inside of myself with, you know what? Maybe this isn't an ideal situation. Maybe this isn't my first choice. Maybe this is a very bad, for me, uncomfortable. Okay. But you know what? If you can turn that around into curiosity, but you know what? That's so much easier for you if you have yourself centered in your organic, functional order. If you are taking good care of yourself by doing your dominant function for 8 hours a day, you can have all of those things. You can have that peace. You can have the awareness of yourself, and then you can get centered. And this is the other thing I love to tell people about my childhood. I went to dance. I went to music. I went to sports. I did a lot of different things. And I loved dance the most because one of my teachers said to me many times, actually, it's not about balance. It's about center. What's the difference? It kind of sounds the same thing. Well, no, one is the source and one is the manifestation. When you are centered within yourself, inside of your own body, then you are completely balanced on the outside. If you know how to get yourself centered, the only way you will get yourself centered is by getting the dominant function as your core of your activity. You have to do your dominant function for at least 8 hours a day. And that means that everything else that you're doing around yourself will still be very balanced, and you will be able to do more things, but you will be able to do them in a better, more high quality way. And you will be able to say, I feel safe enough and balanced enough and productive in what I'm doing because I have taken very good care of myself enough to do more and to want to do more and to learn more. I won't feel stupid if I ask the question. That curiosity is going to propel me into genuine interest. That is going to be the foundation for more openness, because when you are more open, you allow more things to enter your life, to enter your mind, to enter your heart, to enter your body. All of these different things are going to be what other people will participate in. And again, because when we're talking about energy and you have positive energy, then you can create that synergy with others. And again, there is no neutral energy. If it's positive, it's positive. It's negative, if it's negative, indifference is negative. Do you have that curiosity? That is positive energy. And when other people see that and they say, wow, what, you're curious. What are you curious about? Tell me, and tell me what you learned. They don't even necessarily want to know what you're learning. They just want to be with you. They want to be around you while you're learning it, because energy is contagious. And when you know more things, you're more powerful. And again, when you're more powerful with your knowledge, you are more responsible. Responsibility demands accountability. How much do other people have that need to be with others that they don't know how to be with others in a healthy way? Now, let me go ahead, and I think the Wi-Fi here is having a mind of its own, so thank you for just being patient with me as I try to here we go. Back home. And okay, here we go. So now when we have the curiosity, the genuine interest, people actually appreciate that we are interested in them when it comes to people and relationships. And we say, you know what? I don't need to be narcissistic. I don't need to be selfish because I've taken good enough care of myself. I have something high quality to give to you. When I'm giving you something high quality, that is a very contagious energy as well. And people say, wow, I appreciate what you've given to me. What about just letting someone in the line ahead of you? And they say, wow, thank you so much. That creates positive energy. That makes you more productive. That makes you more powerful personally. Yeah, that makes you more aware of who you are and aware of other people, but with a positive attitude and a positive approach. And then other people watch that. And sometimes they'll just come up to you and say, you know what? I really appreciate that you were nice and that you were, I'm sorry, but COVID-19 really made people, you can't do that. You can't do that and still have good, healthy relationships, because it means you don't trust people. And even if you're curious, you're still going to be, okay, well, the P-A-C-K, just kindness. We are built to be kind. We love that there's the more joy in giving than there is in receiving. Okay, but you know what? I'll be honest with you. It kind of bothered me when I married my husband, when I first married him, that his culture, he's Mexican, a lot of the very kind, polite, socially established, I guess you could just call it standards of behavior, right? Routines. They were all perfunctory. And I said to my husband, okay, you know what? They say, buenos dias, ¿cómo estás? Buenos dias, ¿cómo estás? I'm like, okay, buenos dias, como estas? Buenos dias, como estas? Buenos dias, como estas? Well, you know what? One day I just decided to just go out on a limb and tell someone how I really como estas am. Okay, yeah, no, they didn't really want to know how I was como estoy. They didn't really want to know how I was. And my husband pulled me aside. He said, honey, what the hell are you doing? And I said, I was telling them how I am. They asked me how I am. He's like, no, the answer is muy bien, gracias, y usted. I'm like, but that's not true. I'm open with myself. I'm honest with myself. I'm aware of myself. And they seemed like they genuinely wanted to know, honey, the answer is muy bien, gracias, y usted. Okay, well, that's okay. Lesson learned. Point taken. But how about in society when someone says, can I offer you something or what would you like to? Well, you know what? Don't offer someone something until you are okay with whatever it is their response is going to be. It's better to offer a small amount of something very high quality than a ton of crap. So what do you have to, excuse me, to give to someone out of genuine caring? And you know what? Actually, I'm going to tell you this story too, because I'm going to try really hard not to cry. When I was a little girl, my mom was a flight attendant and she would take me on the plane with her. And I realized that the pilots were people that I really admired and I respected them and I trusted them. First of all, because they were very confident and they were very smart and they were very quiet, but they seemed very strong. They were very polite men. And they were genuinely interested in me when they said, hi, how you doing today? I felt like I could put my arms around them and they would care about me. And then I realized one day, well, there was a lot of turbulence and I was getting kind of scared. And the pilot came over the PA system and he said, ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing a little bit of turbulence, but go ahead and remain in your seats. We'll get through it just fine and we'll turn off the fasten seatbelt sign as soon as we make it through to the other side, or something to that effect. And I went, wow, he sounded like he cared about me personally. And I went, okay, that's exciting. And then I actually, through the turbulence, when we came out of it, I fell asleep. And I went, wow. And from then on, I loved going on the plane because I could fall asleep on the airplane better than in my own bedroom. And I love that I can trust these men because I feel like they genuinely care about me and they have the strength and the power and the intelligence and the confidence that if anything did happen, for some reason, I just assumed they would take care of me. Well, you know what? On my flight back from Phoenix to Seattle this is still Wednesday, Thursday. I came back yesterday. And my trip in Phoenix, I had something really horrible happen and I didn't have the chance to really grieve what happened. But when I got on the plane on my way home, I went, wow, you know what? I'm just going to relax. And I saw one of the pilots on the rampway just to the plane. And I went, wow, something inside of me was triggered. And I felt like when he looked at me and when he smiled, wow, I feel safe now. What happened to me in Phoenix was 5 days ago. But I was so scared when it happened. And I thought, wow, I cannot believe after 5 days of not really having a chance to grieve what happened, I completely broke down on the plane and I started bawling my eyes out. And the lady sitting next to me, she did not look at me. She did not speak to me. She got a package of tissue out of her bag. She put her tissue in my lap and said, here you go. And I went, thank you very much. And I got it out and I wiped out my eyes and I went, wow, do you know what? Everyone around me was ignoring me. And I thought, okay, so I got two different things here. First of all, I just had an epiphany about myself. I had no idea how much pilots were important to me. And it was good that I was on the plane because I got to finally grieve and process all the garbage that happened. But wow, people are very afraid to care about each other and love each other. The K is kindness, P-A-C-K. Do you genuinely have kindness, or do you do things like give someone the Kleenex to shut them up? And it's like, you know what? You need to not make noise when you sniff, when you're crying. It's really important to genuinely care about people because they know when it's not real. And if you don't, work on taking care of yourself. Do you know that when you do your dominant function for 8 hours a day, you are centered, you are calm, you are peaceful, you are aware, and you're kind. Yeah, think about that. Do a little bit of an inventory. Which brings the next the next part, almost the fruitage of that kindness, that's appreciation. When you're kind and other people appreciate you, yeah, they really do become something that you appreciate. What is appreciation? Well, actually, the word appreciation means increasing value. Do you stop and say, you know what, to that barista over there who's not screaming and he's not being obnoxious, that I can say to him, I really appreciate the fact that you're not being unnecessarily dramatic, because these girls are clearly trying to compensate for something, and they know that they're upsetting people and they know that they're being obnoxious. I can say to him, you know what, I appreciate what you're doing. You're being considerate and you're being generous to me. And that's another one of the things we're going to go down. But appreciation is genuinely valuing what other people do and what they say, but more importantly, what they are. When you're curious about other people and you say, wow, I want to know more about you, then you're mindful about them because you're aware. And then you can say, the care. I care not only about who you are and I appreciate what you are, but I want to know more about you. So all of these things are indelibly intertwined. Unfortunately, what we have in the self-help industry, right, psychology industry, mental health industry, is you focus on one or two things, but no, they're all connected and they're all related to each other. One will produce the other. And the homeless people, you know what, when they're being tortured, they don't feel safe and they don't feel appreciated. And their awareness has, instead of mindfulness, now it's self-preservation. Wow. It's if I don't get killed, or if you don't kill me, I'll kill you first. Okay. So then they can't be successful. So a big part of what I'm hoping to help the homeless who are still in places like CAS achieve for themselves, reach for themselves, is, yeah, kindness, because they're not worried about their survival, being abused, being tortured, being humiliated. They really do know that they can be healthy and strong because they have all of these things going on inside of them. Again, because the first thing that we're going to do in this class is teach them their true nature. And I got to tell you, when I was talking to this little girl on the rail, she was an INFP. And you know what? She was dressed in a very, like, a vulgarly look at me. I'm drawing undue attention to myself and I'm trying to offend you and say, and she, when she came up to me, honestly, when she came up to me in the beginning, it was almost like she was invading my personal space and starting a conversation about something that I had absolutely no interest in. But I went, wow, she is trying really hard to get my attention. Okay, I'll give her my attention. And by the time I gave her her personality profile as an INFP, you know what? One of the best things about her is she is not selfish and she's not mean and she's very polite and she's very modest. She's very humble. And I said to her, you really don't want anyone to know who you truly are, do you? And she said, how did you know that? I said, because what you're doing is completely opposite of who you are. So the appreciation, when I said to her, not only is it okay for you to be an INFP, which is the total opposite of everything you're doing right now, but I appreciate that you are only 3% of the human population. That means 97 out of every 100 people are not only not going to be like you, but they're not going to understand you. They're probably not going to appreciate you because they don't understand you. But if you have that good energy and you're doing what is your nature, you will be able to have peace and awareness and caring and generosity. And she said, that's all I've ever wanted. That's all I've ever wanted. And I said, let me go ahead and give you some information. I usually charge a lot of money, but you know what, honey? You're a fabulous woman. And I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you for free. Wow. And that bred more appreciation. And she said, no one's ever been this nice to me. And I said, well, you know what? I trust that when you go out and you finish the rest of your day, you're going to be nice to people too, because the great thing about INFPs, you're always nice. And the really amazing thing to people like INTPs like me is it's tough for me to be kind and generous and open because I'm antisocial. I'm socially defective. You can literally give and give and give and give and never run out. She goes, I know I can. And people don't believe it. And I said, and you're never exhausted and you're never resentful and you're never selfish. You don't expect anything back. I love that about NS. My daughter's an ENFJ and she's an amazing woman. And she said, wow, really? I said, yeah. I tell her all the time I want to be like you when I grow up, just because she's so unlike me. Okay, so when we talk about gratitude, it's also about humility. So when we have that gratitude, we have the humility to say, not that I'm inferior. Humiliation is not humility, and insecurity is not humility. It is being able to say, I am not any better than you. We are equally important, and when we come together, we are going to be better. And I am grateful that you are who you are naturally. But that means we have the power, the opportunity to say to people, when you are going to do your thing, I love that your dominant function is different from my dominant function, because then we can do a little bit. No, it's not that you complete me. I'm already complete and you're already complete. It's when we come together, we complement each other. Yeah. And I can say to anyone who is doing something different from me, I really do appreciate who you are. And I really do have the admiration for you to say the fact that you need me is just as important as me needing you, because that means you're humble too. And when we are really willing to work together, homeless people do not have that gratitude and appreciation for other people, because they have an inferiority complex in themselves. When they come to these places and say, I need help, they are laughed at and they are insulted and they are undermined and then sabotaged by the staff. When the people who are in the front desk and you say, I need to talk to my caseworker, do you know the fact that they have access to the caseworker means they have the power? They can actually inhibit someone from getting to where they need to go with the case manager to even have access. And what is just a question that they want to have answered? If you do not have that information, you are not going to be able to make progress. When you have that appreciation for people, when the staff has an appreciation for the residents who live there and say, you know what, I appreciate that you are trying, they are going to create positive energy. Because again, there is no neutral energy. Even if it's just a matter of one of the residents coming up and saying, I really want to get this situation better for myself, but I need someone to help me that I can work with, so that when I get this thing taken care of, I can create amazing results in my life, an amazing product in my work, an amazing feeling in my heart, and an amazing thought in my mind that is again going to extend to everyone else around me. Yeah, that's a really exciting thing just to contemplate. But again, when the caseworker, I actually put up a video on Instagram, and then I put the link to it on my GoFundMe page, and also Alignable, which is supposedly a social website, but it's basically about work, it's about business. I told people the things that happened. The security guards, I think what scared me the most is the security guards who said, you're doing something, I'm not even going to let you in the building, and I'm threatening to throw you out. That right there makes a resident say, okay, I'm afraid of living on the street. Fine. You can lie to me, and you can demean me, and you can humiliate me, you can threaten me, scare the life out of me, I'll stop. Well, what if you need to actually get to a job interview? Or what if you have a question about the terms and conditions of the, I don't even remember what they call it, the placement for residency relative to your job? Well, if your job only lets you earn a certain amount of money, even can you work overtime, but then you have to be back to wherever your residence is because you didn't quite get the apartment or the house yet. You're in transitional housing, but you know what? You have to be back by a certain time. Well, then get a different job, but now you make too much money to get out of the transitional housing. Okay, you know what? If you have that gratitude and you have that humility and you have that appreciation and you're around other people, it actually lets you be around toxicity and say, no, I'm not going to let that into my life, because as I'm centered and I'm fully functioning, I'm attracting more good things into my life. And when bad things come into your life, and you say, okay, go ahead. But the way things happen here is very healthy, and it's very generous, and it's grateful, and it's mindful. Yeah, and it's patient. Do you want to participate with that? A person then has to choose. There's either good or there is bad. There's a, I don't care. Well, honey, that's bad. So you gotta do something. You're going to do something. And if it's nothing, that doesn't count as something, because it's nothing. So you, and you laugh if you laugh and have a good time because you're healthy inside of yourself, you can be around toxicity and you will repel it. You will be resistant to it. It will not pass a certain point in your personal space. Homeless people need to know that. And if they really do have the information about their true nature and they have the support and encouragement of their fellow classmates, right, of the other residents that they live with, that's an amazing thing for everybody. And the fact that I'm doing this for free, it's kind of funny because people are like, well, what's in it for you? Well, nothing, which leads to the G in package. And that's generosity. We have an abundance of everything to give to everybody. The question is, do you hold on to it? Are you afraid to give it? You cannot be afraid to give things. But you know what? If you're taking care of yourself and you're high quality, you're not afraid to give because you're giving enough to yourself to stay centered and to have that awareness, that mindful awareness to say, you know what? I really do need something for myself right now. I'm going to take care of myself. But you are offering other people the opportunity to be generous, right? And I don't know if you believe this, but there's more joy in giving than there is in receiving. When people are generous, you are giving them the gift of fulfillment, true peace in their heart, very grateful attitude, and that, let's see, hold on, what was the consideration and the caring and the humility of, yeah, you gave to me and I gave to you. I'm not any better than you and you're not any better than me. We need each other. There we go. That is the generosity to say, I know that if I give to you, that something in the world, some person in the world is going to come into my life that will create that generosity for me, with me, to me, for them, whatever. That is the synergy that positive energy will create. If you have an abundance, do you believe you have an abundance? You have the physical and the mental and the emotional, all of these different resources that you can afford to give people, because when you give, things come back. Yeah, some people call it karma. Some people just call it balance. And some people call it the higher power. You are always going to have, again, only if it is truly high quality from a centered state, you are always going to have what you need when you need it. But again, you cannot be doing things that are not your true nature and expecting something else to happen. Okay, so when we're talking about sharing, okay, when you share something, you are taking away from yourself, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be damaging to you. How about if you say to that person, I'm going to have the experience with you. I'm going to generously give. Maybe it's my time. Maybe it's my energy. Maybe it's my intelligence. When I was down in Phoenix, I was actually coaching people. Yeah, for free. I didn't get to back to my hotel until a very late hour several times because I was staying out on the street talking to people. I wasn't getting paid for it. I was not getting any money from the donation to the contribution to the campaign. No, I wasn't. But that was okay because I knew that ultimately somewhere, somehow in the end, it was going to make the quality of their life better. And that was going to make the situation in their environment better. And that was going to extend to the people in their environment. And somehow, some way, you know what? Several days later, the people said to me, I have a question. Can I ask you? I said, yeah, absolutely. Hi, it's nice to talk to you again. Yeah, they ended up knowing someone who did something and made a donation to the campaign. It wasn't to me, but it was to my campaign. And if I have 12 people, I really and truly have 12 people who on the street as I was carrying the sign or in front of the library or even on the rail, when they were looking, I go, what's that sign? What's your campaign? GoFundMe? What is that? And I would just sit and talk to them and I would hand them a piece of paper and I would hand them a card and say, yeah, absolutely. Give me a call or give me an email. Send me an email. Give me a text. And I'll tell you anything else you want to know. If you have any other questions or if you just want help, some suggestions for what I'm doing. Yeah, that generosity, that sharing in an abundance, that could be your time. That could be your energy. It's anything that is of value. And that, again, will create something called excitement. When we have excitement in our life, when we have that creative energy to say, I have the motivation and I have that desire, but I also have the physical ability to not only do the things that I'm excited about, But to do them for an extended period of time, that's contagious too. We have the strength to physically perform more tasks or to perform them more quickly. We are more productive, but excitement means we are in a good mood. That is really helpful because even when we are around other people and that we're not necessarily interacting with them, we're just interacting near them, they can feel our energy and they can feel our excitement. And that is really important because, again, what I like to say is laughter is one of the best things that we can have when we are happy, when we are excited, we have energy. Laughter, we're getting a dose of something amazing. Those are the four letters, D-O-S-E, another great acronym. The dose of happiness. The D is dopamine. Okay, that's a great hormone. We all know what dopamine is, but it's a great, powerful chemical in our body that makes us feel that relaxation and that peace and that fulfillment. And yet at the same time, it's like, ahorita me cerebro se cambió al español. Hold on a second, let me get back to English. But it does make us more aware of what's going on. And so when we get that dopamine from the laughter, yeah, that can be addictive. And that's why a lot of drugs, recreational drugs, trigger that part of our brain. But then the O from dose is oxytocin. Now, oxytocin is a great hormone because it's what is created when a woman is breastfeeding or when we get in love, when we're in love. It creates an endearing attachment and a connection. There we go. A connection to other people, not only emotionally, but physiologically. We want to be near those people when we have that. And that, again, is very relaxing. It's very soothing. And so a lot of people really do want to have, you know, dopamine, but sometimes they have to choose between oxytocin. Oxytocin is more of our humanity, and it's sometimes better for people, but there aren't many things that can do it. Laughter will give you dopamine and oxytocin. Well, the S, how about serotonin? Okay, we all really enjoy serotonin because it's a lot like dopamine, but it's different in that it does actually give you energy. But now think about this. If it gives you physiological energy to keep going, to really emotional energy, but how can you be relaxed and connected and bonding and energy? Isn't that a conundrum? How can you have the relaxation and the energy to keep going? Well, you know what? That's where the E comes from. E is endorphins. Dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. Well, you know what? Endorphins give us the physical power to actually carry out whatever it is we're thinking, whatever it is we're feeling, whatever it is we have going on inside of us. The endorphins will give us the fuel to manifest all of those things. So when we have the dose, we get all four of those most powerful hormones in our body from laughter. Then we have that contagious energy, and that's what the generosity, when we are around other people and we're laughing about something, real laughter, genuine, from the heart, laughing. That's not laughter, and we know it. And when someone is making fun of someone else and they are being condescending or they're just being insulting to someone, that's not real laughter. Laughter is when you surrender. And that's a relaxation that we have from the appreciation and the generosity that comes with other people wanting to be around us, because they can actually say, you know what? Being around you feels really good. I appreciate who you are and what you do. I want to be around you more. Or I just want to learn how to do what it is that you do. So let me ask you people this. When we have our functional order, and this is, again, what I'm going to be talking about in the campaign, teaching the people who are homeless to identify what activities are their functionality and do them in the right proportions each day. Just a real quick once over, the dominant function is something that you should be doing 6 to 8 hours a day. Okay, your auxiliary function is something you should be doing 3 to 4 hours a day. Your tertiary function is something you should be doing 2 to 3 hours a day. Your inferior function is something you should only do 1 to 2 hours a day. So this is important, the balance, right? Keeping those activities in the right proportions. What do you think? Let me ask you something. What do you think is more damaging to you? doing something that is not your true nature or not doing what is? Because you can't, you obviously you're doing both. When you're not doing what you are, you it's because you are doing what you're not. Well, they're both equally damaging. So you will know, actually, doing what you're not isn't harmful to you if you're taking care of yourself. So it's very important for you to do what it is your nature to do. And if you are doing something that is not your nature, the awareness, the mindfulness, and the generosity, and the excitement, and the appreciation for yourself, you don't have to be self-centered in order to be centered and balanced. When you say to yourself, okay, you know what, when I'm doing my auxiliary function, it's not automatically happening on its own. It's not always enjoyable. And it's not always easy for me to do. That's your dominant function. You need to figure out what for you is easy for you automatically, what is pleasurable for you by itself, even if you didn't get any fruitage from it, and what you do very, very well. You didn't even have to learn how to do it, and you didn't even have to practice it. Well, you know what? When you're doing your auxiliary function, you do need motivation that you didn't need on your dominant function. Give yourself that motivation because you're mindfully aware and you're generous to others. Then you can say to yourself, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take care of myself as I'm doing this. Well, about your tertiary function, you know what? You need motivation and you need compensation when you're done. Otherwise, you are taking away from yourself. You can absolutely do your tertiary function as long as you're taking care of yourself before and after. Here's the real clinger for you. We got the inferior function. It's not automatic. You don't do it well, and it's not enjoyable for you. You need the motivation and the compensation and the restoration. You have to take care of yourself before and during and after that activity. You can absolutely do it because the great thing about us as people, we can learn how to do anything. And with enough practice, we can actually get really good at it. That doesn't mean we should do it. And that's the big challenge that most of my clients face. They can say, look, I'm really good at this. I've been doing it my whole life. Why isn't it working for me? I say, because it's your tertiary function. So let's just restructure the time that you spend, and let's do it in a different order. And let's distribute the function, but also from the focus and the energy into a different order. Then you're not going to be struggling throughout the day, not only because you're doing what's not you, but because you are doing what's not you, but you're not doing what is. And that is what makes it harmful to you. And they say, okay, you know what? The whole package deal, it's not about what you do. It's about who you are. So thank you for listening to the show, watching the show today. But I want to go ahead and just remind everybody the once over of what I'm doing with GoFundMe. Now, there are three different things that you can be doing for the people who are in these shelters. I'm offering them the life coaching program that I'm holding at the Better Business Bureau building. Again, usually it's a 12 hours over 12 weeks. I'm condensing it to 12 hours within 1 week. If you want to help someone who is homeless go through that coaching program for free, all I ask is that you buy the book. I'm teaching the class for free, but I don't want to produce the whole book myself. Yes, I have been paying them out of my pocket to stand on the street corner, but you know what? When people are giving me donations now, I always ask people, do you want this to go to the workbook or the second choice you have? And that is the representation. The only way that CAS residents are actually going to get a better situation is by creating public awareness. Well, unfortunately, the only thing that people in this country really are motivated by is something public and something intense and something powerful. Well, you know what? You got to take them to court. Is that going to change everything about that institution? No. But when the lawyer said to me, we need proof that other people are having a situation, what they basically said was we need 19 other people to tell their story. You might want to help them create the evidence to be able to go to court. Well, I brought it. Here we go. This is what costs $40. And in fact, one of the ladies who made a donation today, she's awesome. She actually said, no, my $40 donation, I want it to buy one of the residents, their recording device so that they can be a part of your class action lawsuit. So it was VN-541PC Olympus. Okay. Now, if you want to get something different or if you want to specify something different for your funds, let me know when you do the GoFundMe campaign donation. Otherwise, there's a third choice. You know what? You might just want to help somebody who's standing on the street corner. The only people that I'm giving that time on the corner to are the residents that basically I'm giving them $5 an hour to hold the sign, and I'm picking very high flow areas in the city of Phoenix. If you just want to help them out by giving them the money, yes, a lot of people would just rather hand us cash. And I say, okay, you can do that cash. That's fine. Go on the webpage, go on the GoFundMe campaign. They say, nah, I don't really want to do that. Here's $20, or here's $50, and here's $5. Okay, we can do that too. Let's go ahead and decide how you want to distribute the money when you make the donation. Tell me if you want them to get the workbook for their class, if you want to get them the recording device to participate in the class action lawsuit, or you just want to give the people who live in a shelter who are taking us down on the corner for $5 an hour to keep going. We have about 200 more hours that I'm going to be letting these people stand on the corner to get more public interest to raise a full $9,000. So you got a real quick overview of what I'm going to be spending 12 hours with the homeless shelter victims to give them their life coaching program. If you have any questions, please feel free to go to synergylifecoaching.bbsradio@gmail.com and mention in the box.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they're yelling at my left side again. The topic of what it is that you're talking to me about and what you want to include in all that information. And I will get back to you. You can always go ahead and give me your number. I can call. I really do prefer calling over texting and typing. So thank you so much for watching The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio today. And you have power. Power comes with responsibility, and responsibility demands accountability. Let's be powerful together. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you at the same time next week.